So Shankara continues. So like vicharaha soemi drishaha, what is vicharam? So Shankara raised the questions. Koham katam idam datam, ko vai kartasya vidyate, upadanam kim asti. And then now like Shankara is like coming to the vicharaha soemi drishaha, the last shloka of that in the 16th shloka we learned till the 15th shloka. So till then Shankara has answered out that the I am the Sakshi, Aham Sakshi, and then the world is created out of Ajnanam, and the Sankalpaha, Sankalpam is the Karta, whereas Upadanam is the ultimate reality of Brahman or Nirguna Parabrahman. So Shankara kind of ends this topic of Vicharam as to how a person has to do Vicharam by summarizing it. So he says, Ahame kupi sushmascha jnata sakshi sadavyayah tadaham natra sandeho vicharasoyamidrishah. So tat aham, that I am, natra sandehah, there is no doubt regarding it, vicharah soyamidrishah, this is that vicharam, that I am, and there is no doubt regarding it. Why there is no doubt regarding it? Because it is asandigdham. The word like that in Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, as well as the sub-commentaries of the Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, they are used is asandigdham. Sandigdham means that which is doubtful. Asandigdham means that which is undoubtful. There is no doubt regarding the matter. There is not even a trace of doubt in that matter. As to my nature, as to aham, tat aham, and what is my nature, what is that I am, aham eko, I am one alone. So ekaha has like multiple meanings in Vedanta. Ekaha is interpreted in different ways. Chandogya Shruti explains, while in the Shweta Ketu Brahmanam, where like Uddalaka, the father of Uddalaka, who is the guru there, teaches his son Shvetaketu there, he uses the words ekam eva advitiyam. So ekam eva advitiyam sad. So he starts by telling that sat alone exists before creation. Sadeva asit ekam eva advitiyam. So that ekam eva advitiyam. So three words are explained as the nature of Brahman. Ekam eva advitiyam. If you have read the articles like Satya Darshanam and others in the site, then you understand the meaning of each of these words. So ekam eva advitiyam. Ekam. So, like in the world, Vedam, Advaita or Advaita Vedanta says that there is no Vedam here. Whatever exists is only one entity. That's why Katha Upanishad as well as Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Neha Nana Asti Kinchana, there is no duality here. Sarvam Brahma Mayam, everything is Brahman. Sarvam Kaluvidam Brahma. So, all those explain that there is only Brahman here. So there is no Bedam. But in the world, empirically, Bedam is of three types. Bedam can be either of the three types. So the first Bedam is Swagata Bedam. Swagata Bedam means Bedam in itself, in the entity itself. So an entity, right? Any entity that we have can have difference in itself. That means inside itself it can have difference. This difference is called internal difference is called swagata bhedam. Swagatam means that which is inside oneself, that which is in oneself. So that swagata bhedam is in the form of parts. So an entity which has parts has differences inside itself. So when we say a tree, when we say a tree or a body, my body or any body, physical body, that is a collection of entities. The tree has different parts like branch, leaf, fruit, stem, etc. So all these are parts of the tree. So though tree is one whole entity, yet it has internal differences. So its parts are different from one another. That is what is called swagata bhedam. The shariram or the body also has parts like eyes, hands, face, legs, etc. So any entity which has vice, so that is the first type of bhedam possible. The second type of bhedam is sajatiya bhedam. So one is internal bhedam, then we can have external bhedam. External bhedam can be of two types. One is sajatiyam. Jatiyam means, like, as the word is quite popular, right? Jati is very popular these days. So jati means entity of the similar category, entity of the similar type, similar nature. So sajatiya bhedam means difference between its own type, different between other entities of the same category. Like if it is tree, a tree is different from another tree. So both are of the same jati, same class, same category of tree, yet one is different from other. This is what is called as sajatiya bhedam, the second type of bhedam. And the third type of bhedam that is possible is vijatiya bhedam. Sajatiya means same jati, vijatiya means different jati. That means a tree is different from a stone, a tree is different from a body, because both of these are different jati. So these are the three types of bhedam that is possible. Now, when we analyze, if we analyze that whether these bhedam are possible in Brahman, then we'll have to come to a conclusion. We will come to a conclusion that there is no bhedam possible in Brahman. None of these three bhedams are possible in Brahman. The first bhedam is swagatam, which means internal parts. Brahman cannot have parts. Why can't Brahman have parts? Shruti herself says nishkalam. So that is the word that is used. Nishkalam means that which is devoid of parts. So that is Shruti, as per Shruti. As per Yukti, logic, any entity which with parts, any entity with parts is subject to change. The tree that we see, which has parts, is subject to change. The body that we see is subject to change. That is the case with any entity that has parts. And as we, it's very famous, we know that any entity that is subject to change is subject to the Shadvikaram. Shadvikaram of Asti, Jayate, Vardate, Viparinamate, Parinamate or Viparinamate, Kshayate and Apakshayam, or Kshayate and Nasham, Vinashyati. So like the six Shadvikaram of birth, existence, growth, decay, disease and death. So all these are, or if an entity which is subject to change, then that entity is subject to these Shadvikaram. And an entity which is subject to Shadvikaram will be non-eternal, because it has a birth and it has a death. Therefore, it is not eternal. But we know that Brahman is eternal. I am eternal. Therefore, such an eternal entity cannot have change. Such an entity cannot have birth and death. Therefore, such an entity cannot have parts. Therefore, there is no swagata bhedam possible in Brahman or in Brahman or Ishvara or the Atman. Again, there is another logical explanation that Brahman is of the nature of consciousness. Consciousness cannot have any association with anything else. Even as space. Space, though is all pervasive, yet it doesn't have any association with other entities. That is because space is partless. Any entity with parts will have association. Association or conjunction, which like in Nyaya term, it is called as Samyogam. Samyogam is possible with entities that have parts. The parts of one entity mixes with the part of other entity. My body can meet your body when my hand shakes hand with your hand. This is possible because my body has parts. Space doesn't have part, therefore we cannot have any association with space. Scriptures say that Brahman came from space, and we also know that it is consciousness which makes space also existence. Therefore, consciousness, which is a source of space, has to have the qualities of space, which is being disassociative or not having any association with other entities. And we also know that consciousness is without parts. Consciousness as consciousness cannot have any association. Why consciousness cannot have any association? Because consciousness is the Sakshi consciousness. There is yet another logic that Advaita Makaranda does, but we won't deal with it now, maybe sometime later. So for this reason, like for all these reasons, Brahman cannot have Swagata Bedam. Sajatiya Bedam is not possible in Brahman because Brahman is one alone. There is no two Brahman. There is only one Brahman, one of its type. There are no two Brahmans possible. Because we can't have two consciousness, we can't have two suns, we can't have two light. So Sajatiyam is impossible. Vijatiyam is also impossible because Brahman alone is real and everything else is unreal. That means there is nothing apart from Brahman. So Vijatiyam is also not possible. The word Shruti, by the words, by the three words of Ekam, Eva, Advitiyam, says that Brahman is without the three Vedam. Ekam means like it doesn't have any parts. That means Swagata Vedam is negated. Eva only means Sajatiya Vedam is eliminated. And Advitiyam means without a second entity, that means Vijatiya Vedam is negated. So Ekam Eva Advitiyam negates the three duality or the three types of differences in Brahman or with respect to Brahman. And that Brahman I am, therefore I am Ekaha, I am without any parts. We can also say that Ekaha here can be like, we can take it that Shankara is mentioning one of the words of the three. Therefore, Ekam means, Ekaha means Ekameva Advitiyam, and we can extend it. But I am one alone. That means Eko Api. I am one alone. So I am one alone. That means I am without any differences, without any bhedam, abhedam, and I am advitiya vastu. And though I am one alone, yet what is my nature? Sukshmascha, sukshmaha cha. Sukshmam, sukshmaha means that which is subtle. We have already dealt the word, so it is very subtle. Why is it subtle? Because it is beyond the mind. That which is beyond the mind is what is called as subtle. And like scriptures say that Brahman is the subtlest of the subtle. Anuraniyan mahato mahiyan atmasya jantor nitam guhayam. This is what Kathopanishad says, that anuraniyan, anuhu means atom, smallest. So that means so subtle. So subtler than the subtlest. Anuraniyan, subtle or smaller than anuhu, smaller than atom. Mahato Mahiyan. So, Mahataha Mahiyan. Greater than the greatest. So, it is smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest. That means it is all pervasive. So, Shankara says that Anuraniyan means it is subtler than the subtle because it is the indwelling self. Mahato Mahiyan because it is all pervasive. But Sukshmaha, I am Sukshmaha because I am beyond the mind. I am Anuraniyan. I am subtler than the subtlest. I am beyond the mind, the intellect, which are the only thing that we can say as subtle or like perceivable or tangible, not exactly tangible, but something which can be conceived. But I am sukshma, I am beyond that. So we can say, we can ask that if I am subtler than the subtle, then how will I experience it? So that is why Vedanta never says that there is any experience of the self as experiences of object. So in Moksha Siddhi, if you have read, like I have, the work mentions that aparokshanubhavam. Aparokshanubhavam is moksha. Moksham is aparokshanubhavam, means you should experience. Though it is mentioned as anubhavam, anubhavam na vishaya anubhava samanam. It is not like vishaya anubhavam. It is not like experience of objects, because it is experience of oneself. Experience of oneself is means that it is not an experience like objects. Like objective, it's not an objective experience, but it is the knowledge that I am that. So that, so even though it is subtler than the subtle, still it is a matter of one's own experience. Experience means aparokshanubhavam or intuitive experience as oneself, not like objective experience. So Paramartha in many of his places says that if a person says that nirvikalpa samadhi is the goal, nirvikalpa samadhi is the goal that a person has to achieve, then he is wrong. Vedanta never says that, because nirvikalpa samadhi is also some matter of experience. It's an experience. The only thing that cannot be experienced in any way is the self or the or Brahman. So that is not a matter of experience, but that is one's own very nature. But now since we are in ignorance, therefore we say that it is aparoksha anubhavam, aparoksha jnanam. So it is a kind of experience, but it's not an experience. When we reach that state, when we realize the self, then it is a matter of living that. So when it's like telling that I am breathing air, you don't need to tell. It is not an experience. Why? Because it's one's own nature. So though breathing is not a nature, don't take it like literally, but it means like the fire burning is the nature of fire. It is not an experience. Similarly, like once we realize, we will realize that Atma is my nature, therefore aparokshanubhavam is Swarupam, knowing my Swarupam. That means you will be living that Swarupam. That is not an experience. And I am Jnata. I am Jnata. Jnata means I am knower. Knower of what? Knower of everything. Everything that is there in the world, that can be conceived, that are beyond conception, everything is known by me. Because I am the Drik. I am the subject who experiences all objects. I am the knower of everything. So if I am the knower of everything, that means I am the subject, which means I might be affected by the objects. So we are chatting. So if I am involved in chatting, then that means either I gain out of chatting or I dislike chatting. Something I should be getting out of the chatting, because I am part of the activity of chatting. So an entity that is part of an activity will be affected by the activity. So subject, the Triputi that Vedanta accepts in any action is subject, object and the action in itself. So Jnata means it is a knower, it means it's a subject. So if it is a subject, then it will be part of the activity, part of the action. If it is part of the action, then it will be affected by the action. That means the illusory actions in the world will cause ripples in the Atman that I am. That means Brahman is affected by it. And the Triputi is limited. It is relative. Newton's relativity theory, Einstein's relativity theory, we see, then it is, things are all related together. And with that which are related are empirical. It's not ultimate. That means it's non-eternal. That means Brahman becomes non-eternal. So this will lead to a lot of illogical conclusions. So since like I am the Jnata, I am the knower of everything, but yet I am not the subject who gets affected by it. Why? I am the Sakshi. Sakshi, like when we daily drive to office, drive from home to office, or like take a ride in a car or bus, during that time we experience a lot of things, we see a lot of things, yet we are not part of the activity that we are seeing. We are just a mere witness. So though we see entities, yet we are the unaffected seer. We are the Sakshi of activities, not the Karta of ego. If I am the Karta of ego, then I will become the Bhokta. Bhoktrutvam also will be there. If I eat something, if I am the doer of the activity of eating, then my hunger will be appeased. I will be either happy or I will be sad. So I will also be the Bhokta, enjoyer. But I am the Jnata, I am the knower of everything in the form of Sakshi. So I am the that Drig, which is the Sakshi of everything, which is unaffected. And that Sakshi, like Adhyasam of such a Sakshi, happens with the Ahankaram, therefore causing it to, causing the Atma to be a considered as something which is associated or attached with entities. So in Drigdrishya Viveka, like Bharati Tirtha also says that I am the Drik, I am the subject. So there it means, like, though I am the subject of everything, I am the unaffected subject. Ego is the affected subject, whereas I am the unaffected subject. If I was the affected subject, then I cannot be the self. I am the unaffected subject, which is the Sakshi. But Sakshi is also the subject of ego, which is the Karta. Therefore, we say that it is the ultimate Drik. It is the seer of everything. It sees everything, yet it is unaffected by it. So it is Sakshi. And it is Sad Avyayaha. Sad means, like, it is existent. It is existing beyond time. It is always present. And Avyayaha, it is immutable. That means it is changeless. And that this is my nature, that aham, that I am, that self which is ekam, that which is ekam, that which is sukshma, that which is jnata, that which is the drik of jnata, yet it is the sakshi drik, not the karta drik, who is affected by the kartritvam. And it is existent, it is sat in nature, it is existing in nature, it is pulsating in nature, pulsation in the form of Svaranam, in the form of I exist, and it is immutable as well, means changeless. And this is the form of Vicharam. So in the previous shloka, from the 13th shloka till the 15th shloka, Shankara answered the questions, the four questions regarding oneself and regarding the world. And in the 16th shloka, Shankara summarizes it by saying that this is my real nature. So ekaha, ekam is only Brahman. Sukshmam is anoraniyan mahato mahiyan, that is nature of Brahman. Jnata, Brahman is the jnata of everything because it illumines everything, it knows everything because it is a creator. And it is Sakshi. So Sakshi cheta, like Sakshi cheta cheto kevalaha Nirgunashcha, that is what Shvetashvatara says, that Brahman is Sakshi. And Sat, Chandogya Upanishad also says that Brahman is of the nature of Sat. And Avyayaha, Avyayaha is many places Krishna uses the way word Avyayam. Avyayam or Avyayaha. Ajam Maam Avyayam, in one place Krishna says. So all these are nature of Brahman. That Brahman which is the substratum of the illusory world. Therefore, Shankara is summarizing here that I am Brahman. So the real Vicharam is starting from who I am, what is this world, finding out the answer to who I am and the world, reality behind the world, finally coming to the conclusion that initially Koham, the answer was that I am the Sakshi. But there we haven't come to, there it is only I am real, that's it. We haven't come to the point of Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha, that I am Brahman, relating myself to Brahman. Just that I am Sakshi, I am Atman is fine. And then Jagan Mithyatvam was proved. Then Shankara says, I am that Brahman. That means Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. So with that, Vicharam concludes. So that is what Shankara has said in the 16th shloka, concluding Vicharam by saying that Ahamekopi Sukshmascha Jnata Sakshi Sat Avyayah Tadaham Natra Sandeho Vicharah Soyam Idrishah. So in the next few shlokas, Shankara will be giving the nature of Atman. So more contemplation as to what is the Atma. So we know I am the Ekaha, I am Brahman, I am Atman, everything. But what are the ways the Atman can be explained, can be defined? Once we know that, we can contemplate always that I am Atman of such and such nature. When I know that I am the Atman of such and such nature, then that leads to more and more Vairagyam, more and more Vivekam, more and more Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Therefore, making a person realize being a Jivan Mukta and living in the world. So we'll stop here and continue tomorrow.